commercial impression. The basis for this finding is that a Chinook hop varietal exists. But the board's commercial impression analysis is fundamentally flawed. Would an ordinary consumer that sees the term Chinook in the beer aisle of their local grocery store perceive it as a reference to the Chinook hop varietal? The answer is no.
Where's the evidence to support that conclusion?
Your Honor, the record is devoid of evidence that...
But the record is... The problem, as I see it for you, is, and I'm not unsympathetic to your argument, but that the relevant audience was broadly defined to also include industry professionals, and there was evidence that industry professionals would see Chinook on beer and immediately think of hops. That's right?
There was some evidence to that effect, Your Honor, yes. But Mackey does dispute the veracity of that evidence.
Well, that's a different issue. Let's just assume that evidence is good enough. That can be substantial evidence to support this. There's no corresponding evidence, is there, that the regular public outside of industry professionals wouldn't connect Chinook to hops?
Your Honor, I believe that's correct. There is no precise rebuttal evidence here. But the board's decision completely omitted any discussion of the ordinary traditional consumer, the beer consumer.
Did you put out any evidence to that effect?
No, Your Honor, but the...
Whose burden would it be to bring evidence about the ordinary consumer before the board? Be yours, correct?
Your Honor, Mackey submits that it would be the proponent of the genericness finding, that it would be, in fact, Lawson's burden to convince the board that an ordinary purchaser, a purchaser that's most likely to be confused, would perceive Chinook to be generic for hops. And Appellee Lawson's did not submit any evidence to that effect. The only evidence is to a highly...
You didn't submit evidence either then.
No, Your Honor, but the burden was on Mackey, or apologies, on Lawson's to submit evidence sufficient to support a genericness finding. And the...
But the genericness issue didn't come up as a part of the of Lawson's response to your client's burden. Didn't genericness come up in connection with your client wanting to get a common law mark for beer?
Your Honor, it was first discussed when discussing my client's claim that he had an exclusive right to use the term Chinook in connection with beer, which was unregistered. The board then incorporated by specific reference that genericness finding into its likelihood of confusion analysis, which concerned my client's registered Chinook trademark for wine. And Mackey submits that this is not necessarily...
Can you explain to me, I don't understand why you're saying it's not your burden to show on the similarity of the marks that the general public would confuse these two.
Your Honor, it is Mackey's burden to submit evidence in support of the DuPont factor findings,
But you just said you didn't submit any evidence on what the general public would think. The only evidence in the record is from the other side of the industry professionals.
And Your Honor, that evidence is insufficient to support the board's finding.
Why? And there's no other evidence.
Your Honor, there is the record.
You might have a good argument if you come in with consumer surveys that said all these people that look at this mark, Chinook, or think of the Chinook Tradewinds or whatever that's named after and not the hops. But there's nothing to suggest that. You want us to infer that. To me, it sounds like a reasonable inference, but there's nothing in the record to support it.
Your Honor, there's nothing in the record to support that an ordinary consumer is even aware that the Chinook hop varietal exists.
Again, I don't understand why you're arguing that it's not your burden to show, at least make a minimum while showing on that.
Your Honor, the board's decision is just simply not supported by substantial evidence, of any evidence. And the board's decision
is
backed
by the only evidence in the record on this point, which is some people, broadly included in the definition of general public, although why that was allowed is a different question, but the industry professionals would see it as hops. That's all we have.
And that's precisely appellant's point, Your Honor. That's all we have is evidence as to industry professionals, sophisticated parties. The likelihood of confusion analysis is not concerned with whether sophisticated parties are going to
be
confused.
Let's say you didn't even have that. And you didn't come forth with any evidence whatsoever that there would be confusion because they would not understand it as hops. Don't you still lose?
No, Your Honor. The board's finding was specifically premised on the fact that there is a generic.
I know, but hypothetically, let's not talk about the board's finding. Let's hypothetically say you submit no evidence whatsoever about how somebody would understand this Chinook Earth mark. There's no evidence to suggest that it might go with yours or might go with the hops. Don't you lose because it's your burden to present some evidence on this point?
Well, Your Honor, first, the board found that the marks are similar in sound and appearance.
I know, but and on this point, don't you lose on this point if you don't submit evidence?
Your Honor, appellant contends that if there's not substantial evidence, if there's not sufficient evidence to support the genericness finding, whether the term is descriptive or even highly suggestive, the likelihood of confusion factor should fall in Mackey's favor. And there simply isn't enough evidence in the record to support such a strong finding here. The only evidence is to sophisticated parties. And this court
at bottom, your argument is that in balancing the numerous factors that go into the conclusion of the likelihood of confusion, it's a legal error here because the evidence is slight as to the identification of the mark with hops.
Yes, Your Honor. We do contend that there is
both. It's an unusual case because you have a lot of things going in your favor. But the
yes.
problem with these cases is that absent some surveys and that sort of thing, the board doesn't have any way of knowing which is what. I mean, the board kind of looks like the umpire that's calling balls and strikes.
Yes, Your Honor. We do contend that there was a legal error here. And the legal error can be seen at page 21 of the board's opinion, which is at the record at page 32. The board concluded that someone familiar with beer, particularly craft beer, perceived Chinook as a beer made from Chinook hops. That does not satisfy the genericness framework. That's simply insufficient because it omits any discussion, any analysis, any reference to an ordinary beer consumer. The constituency of the relevant public, the largest, that is most likely to be confused. And that's what's at issue here. In this court's decision in Magic Wand versus RDB, Inc.
But coming back to what yes. point that Judge Hughes was making with you, the burden on bringing forth evidence what Joe Sixpack thinks is on your client, right?
Yes, Your Honor, that's true. But to that point, the burden to have that DuPont factor actually reach the level of genericness and falls so strongly in favor of Lawson's that it is dispositive of the entire likelihood of confusion analysis. That is on Lawson's. And the record here is simply not developed enough to support the board's legal conclusion. And in fact, we do submit that the board's factual finding itself, which I just described at page 21 of the opinion, doesn't fit into that genericness framework. The factual conclusion itself is insufficient. So there's a legal disconnect. There's a gap that hasn't been bridged by any type of evidence here. This court's decision in Magic Wand, Inc. versus RDB, Inc. is quite instructive. There, the petitioner submitted significant evidence to show that touchless was used generically in connection with automobile washing services. There was significant evidence that operators and vendors used that term generically, but the TTAB denied the genericness finding, and this court affirmed because there's a lack of evidence as to ordinary purchasers. That's precisely what happened here. There's very little distinction except for the actual goods at issue. What we have here is highly sophisticated individuals. For example, Jennifer Swiatek is a veteran professional buyer. She is a quintessential example of a sophisticated consumer. And she testified only as to her perception. Likewise, Patrick Rue is an industry participant. He is a professional brewer. He owns a brewery. He testified as to his perception and the perception of the beer industry, those in the beer industry. He also made a reference to craft beer consumers, but he described those consumers as highly sophisticated. There's simply no reference in this case to anything other than highly sophisticated parties.
Let me just give it a try to understand what your point in all this is. It's not that you're not arguing that you submitted evidence to show that this factor goes in your favor. It's that the board's factual findings are unsupported by substantial evidence because they rely on on the industry people, not the general public. So you just want this factor to drop out.
We don't necessarily want this factor to drop out.
Well, how can you argue it's in your favor if you didn't submit any evidence whatsoever?
Your Honor, at the board level, we argued that this evidence was insufficient to support this finding.
So let's assume I agree with you. I'm going to throw out all their evidence and say this is an evidence of a normal consumer. So this is not indicative of what a normal consumer. We're left with no evidence, right?
Right.
So how can we find for you on this factor?
Your Honor,
it's your burden.
First, if this is arbitrary,
can you just answer me that? How can we rule for you on this factor if there is no evidence either way showing what a average consumer would think?
Well, Your Honor, then the factor would be neutral.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. Is that what you're trying to get? You're trying to get this factor thrown out.
Your Honor, Mackey submits that if this factor is neutral.
You could have submitted evidence on this, and you took your chance that maybe, you know, nobody would come up and this would just be neutral, but you didn't try to get this factor in your favor.
Your Honor, we argued that the expert report submitted by Lawson's is insufficient on its face and that the evidence
is... Can you just answer my question? You did not submit affirmative evidence to show that an average consumer would not understand Chinook to refer to hops.
Your Honor, that's correct, yes. There's no affirmative evidence in Mackey's favor, but... Mackey does submit that if this factor is neutral, the other DuPont factor findings heavily weigh in favor of reversing the board's decision here. I see that I'm in my rebuttal time, so I will reserve.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Kaiser, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Your Honor.
And can you see the court?
Yes, I can.
All right, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. My name is Ryan Kaiser. I represent Lawson's Finest Liquids. May it please the court. The board's decision in this case was supported by substantial evidence and should be affirmed. Substantial evidence is a deferential standard of review, and in one of the previous oral arguments this morning, I think one of Your Honors referred to it as a high hill to climb. Indeed, where two different conclusions may be warranted based on the evidence of record, a decision to favor one conclusion over the other is the type of decision that must be sustained on this standard. And that's exactly what has happened here. Now, in light of the substantial evidence standard that's applied here, and for the following two specific reasons, there's no basis for reversing the board's decision. First, there is substantial evidence that Chinook Root IPA that's used on beer has a different commercial impression than Chinook as used on wine, regardless of whether Chinook is deemed to be generic or not. And second, there is substantial evidence that Chinook is generic for beer, particularly Chinook IPAs, which are made with Chinook hops. In turning to the first point, the board's finding as to commercial impression, which is the issue on this appeal, did not require genericness of the term Chinook. The board explained that when used in connection with beer, Chinook means a type of hops that engenders a different commercial impression than Chinook used in connection with wine. Now, while the board did mention Chinook as to beer and the genericness analysis, it wasn't a prerequisite to the finding on commercial impression. Rather, it was a reference to its analysis and the evidence that Lawson's put in the record. And you can see how the board made its decision in looking at the case law that it cites in its analysis. So in reaching its conclusion that Chinook Root IPA and Chinook have different commercial impressions, the board cites case law in which suggestive meanings of the terms at issue were controlling. So, for example, in the board's ruling at Appendix 54 and 55, the board cited to Coach Services versus Triumph Learning, and which that held that the Coach mark, when applied to fashion accessories, is clearly suggestive of carriage travel. Similarly, in In Re Sears Roebuck Company, The mark crossover, when applied to brassieres, was suggestive of the construction of the brassieres. So in those cases, the commercial impression of the marks at issue were determined merely by their suggestive characteristics. They didn't, not because they were generic, not because they were even descriptive. It looked at what they suggested. That's what the board did in this case. So in this case, the board found that Mackey's Chinook mark suggests, and that's the board's word, suggests the Pacific Northwest. You can see that at Appendix 54. As evidence for that conclusion, the board cited to testimony of Mackey, and then it took judicial notice of a dictionary definition at Appendix 36 and a Wikipedia page. That was the evidence, and the board found that Chinook suggested the Pacific Northwest. Then it turned to the Chinookered IPA mark, for which there was substantial evidence, and the board referred to its discussion and the evidence of Chinook in relation to beer and found that Chinook had a connotation of beer, and that Chinookered, as it formed part of the mark Chinookered IPA, was actually a play on the term snockered. And just as it had for Mackey's mark, it relied on a dictionary definition for the meaning of snockered, and it came to the conclusion that Chinook and Chinookered was a play on the word Chinook and snockered. So the genericness issue that it discussed as to commercial impression merely served to confirm that Chinook meant something with respect to beer that it doesn't mean with respect to wine. The result here would have been the same regardless of whether Chinook was found to be generic, descriptive, or even suggestive, as the case law that the board cites suggests. So, again, there is no need to find that Chinook is generic in this case. The result of the case is going to be the same. Now, even if the board's commercial impression finding did require that Chinook was generic for beer, there's substantial evidence supporting that finding, too. And in challenging the genericness finding, Mackey made several critical errors in this appeal. First, they cite the wrong burden of proof that Lawson's was held to at trial. Second, they conflate the relevant public standard that's used in assessing genericness with the least sophisticated consumer standard used in the fourth DuPont factor. And third, they just ignore the evidence, both direct evidence and indirect evidence of genericness. So turning to the first issue, they use the wrong burden. Mackey suggests multiple times that Lawson's was required at trial to prove genericness by clear and convincing evidence. You can see this at their brief at page 13 and their reply brief at page 3. In reality, clear and convincing evidence is the standard for ex parte cases. In inter partes oppositions and cancellation proceedings like this one, the opposer or petitioner only bears the burden of proving genericness by a preponderance of the evidence. So Mackey's entire analysis in this case, in this appeal, is based on the premise that Lawson had a higher burden at trial than it actually did. Next, Mackey conflates the second Marvin Guillen prong, which is the perception of the term at issue, with the fourth DuPont factor, which deals with consumer sophistication. Now, Mackey repeatedly argues that the relevant public's perception of determining genericness must be based on the least sophisticated consumer. That is simply not the case. Marvin Guillen instructs that the test is one of meaning to the usual buyer or other relevant members of the public. And that language from the decision is critical for other relevant members of the public. In this case, the board explicitly defined the relevant public to mean brewers, commercial craft and home brewers, beer distributors, and beer drinkers, the consumer. All right? Neither party disputed that finding on appeal. It's not an issue that's been appealed. I am not aware of any federal circuit or board decisions requiring only evidence as to the least sophisticated member of the relevant public to be considered, and Mackey certainly doesn't cite any such authority. For example, in his reply brief at page 2, Mackey argues that this decision must be based on the least sophisticated potential consumer, and he cites Stone Lion Capital Partners v. Lion Capital. However, a careful reading of Stone Lion reflects that that case didn't concern genericness, and the passage that they cite to concerns the fourth DuPont factor, sophistication of the consumer. So the least sophisticated consumer is not the standard in proving genericness. Here, in determining how the relevant public perceived the term Chinook, the board wasn't required to limit itself to the least sophisticated potential purchaser, as Mackey argues. Instead, it properly looked at and relied on evidence of brewers, commercial purchasers, and ordinary consumers. This is the same issue that Mackey's relying on in the Magic Wand case. So the Magic Wand, the relevant public was defined as the end consumer, the people that are going to get their car washed at the car washes. The evidence in that case was trade publications, that there was no evidence that the ordinary consumer saw those trade publications. And so the board said, well, you know, there's no evidence that people that are getting their cars washed read trade publications. That's not the same situation that we're in this case. In this case, the relevant public includes brewers. It includes commercial distributors. And so in this case, the evidence submitted by Rue and Swiatek is directly on point. This is direct testimony from members of the public. In addition, unlike Magic Wand, in this case, we have indirect evidence showing that consumers would be aware of Chinook as used in beer names. We've got websites referring to Chinook hops as one of the most popular hops. We've got hundreds of different beers that use Chinook in the name or that use Chinook IPA generically. So it's just, the case is not comparable to Magic Wand. Finally, discussing the evidence, Mackey ignores it. The board relied on unrebutted expert testimony, as well as direct testimony from members of the relevant public. Lawson's also submitted copious evidence, documentary evidence, showing the relevant public's association of the term Chinook with beer. While it may not have been direct evidence from the horse's mouth, straight from the consumer, it is indirect evidence. And a finding of genericness can be based on indirect evidence. Mackey offers no case citation, nor have we found one, that indicates that indirect evidence is categorically insufficient to find genericness. In fact, the case law is pretty clear. Evidence of the public's understanding of a term can be obtained from any competent source. And it lists things like dictionaries, newspapers, and other publications. Here, like in the case in Re Cordua Restaurants, Inc., the board has relied on dictionary definitions. It has relied on articles from online publications. We have testimony from a member of the relevant public in Rue that this is a practice of beer makers to use beer hops names like Chinook in the names of the beers. We have evidence that Chinook hops is not just an obscure, unknown hops. It's one of the most popular hops for something like 7 or 8 years running. Now, that popularity reflects demand. Brewers aren't brewing beers with hops that people don't like. And that demand, it ties into the evidence that we've shown of the websites that show reviews of hundreds, literally hundreds, of beers that are named Chinook IPAs.
Mr. Kaiser?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kaiser, can you hear me? It's Judge Clevenger.
Yes, I can.
So explain to me the significance of the schnookered part of this case. Why is it relevant that schnookered can be thought of as schnockered?
Well, it's relevant because are you referring to the difference of opinion between Lawson's saying that schnookered was meant to refer to snookered and the board?
Yeah, they're snookered. I mean, is the notion that you get snookered on beer but not on wine?
No. The notion had nothing to do with wine. It was, and as is common for beer names, they like to get playful in their names. And there are a lot, I'm sure if you go to the grocery store, you'll notice there are a lot of beer names that are just nonsensical. They make no sense. But, you know, Lawson's contended that they intended for the name to be a play on snooker. The board found that it could just as equally be considered a play on snooker. And again, the case law is clear that the possibility of drawing two inconsistent conclusions doesn't prevent the board's decision to pick one over the other as unsupported by substantial evidence. So, you know, whether it was supposed to mean snockered or snookered, the fact is it means something different than Chinook, which is, according to Mackey, a warm wind from the Pacific, or a Native American tribe, or a salmon. And again, as Your Honors pointed out during direct, there really is no evidence supporting Mackey's contention that of what Ixmark means. I mean, the board relied on dictionary and a Wikipedia page. So certainly there's significantly more evidence supporting Lawson's contention than there is Mackey's. Again, looking at the evidence, though, that the board considered, it's clear, and the board's decision reflects that it thoroughly considered this evidence, as well as any limitations that it might have as to being probative. And you can see on Appendix 25 through 29, when they go through the evidence of genericness, and specifically footnote 49, they discuss the probative value and the limitations of certain evidence. I think they were referring to a website reference. And they made a decision. We're going to consider it for whatever probative value it has. And when they considered it, they considered that it supported the finding that that the mark was generic, or that the word was generic. Your Honor, I see I have a minute and a half left, and I would very quickly like to address the two remaining factors here, the first being the fourth DuPont factor of consumer sophistication, and the other being commercial strength. The fourth DuPont factor, there's no basis for reversing the board's decision on that. As this court pointed out, Mackey presented no evidence as to the ordinary consumer. In fact, in its reply brief, Mackey cites to the case N. Ray Red Leg Rum. And in N. Ray Red Leg Rum, the board actually analyzed the fourth DuPont factor in connection with beer, and it declined to narrow the beer category to just craft beer. It considered all beer consumers, and it found, nevertheless, that the fourth DuPont factor was neutral because there was no evidence as to what the ordinary beer consumer was. That's the exact case that we have here in front of us. There's no basis for anything other than a finding of neutral. Similarly, with commercial strength, Mackey argues that just by submitting sales data, they should default to having a commercially strong mark. There's no basis for that position. There's no authority for that position. And if that were the law, any litigant, all they would have to do is submit sales data, and they would automatically have a commercially strong mark. That's not the law. There needs to be some context. And in this case, there is no context for their sales. For all of the foregoing reasons, we request that the board's decision be affirmed, and certainly they're happy to answer any questions.
It's Judge Clevenger. I don't have a further question, just a little word of advice to you. I think if you have another Zoom argument with another court, it'd be a good idea to wear your jacket. I think if you'd showed up here in our clerk's office to come to court and argue in front of us in your shirt sleeves, you probably would have been told to get a jacket.
Thank you, Your Honor. Duly noted. I apologize.
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear from Mr. Harms. You got a little bit less than 3 minutes.
So thank you, Your Honor.
Hold just a second. Do you guys want the bears? We're okay. You want to put on your mask?
I'm okay.
Your Honors, 3 points in rebuttal. First, Lawson points to the results of searching the term Chinook and its variation Chinooked on the website untapped.com, which is a website on which individuals can submit reviews of beer. However, 426 of the beers shown in the search records have no reviews. Only less than 10% of the total results are beers that both have reviews and are made with reference to a unique label. This is not substantial evidence. This is suspect.
So it comes down to you're arguing this factual finding is not supported by substantial evidence because the only evidence in the record you think is insufficient. There's no contradicting evidence, though.
Your Honor, that's correct. But we also do submit that this was a legal error, that the board's finding that someone familiar with beer might have this commercial impression simply doesn't fit into the rubric. That although there is a constituency of highly sophisticated consumers that might have a commercial impression that would dispel confusion, that's not what the likelihood of confusion analysis is concerned about. That's why Mackey submitted cases considering...
Why didn't you submit a consumer survey?
Your Honor, we did not do that because we did not see the need to rebut Mr. Rue's expert report or Jennifer Swiatek's declaration testimony. It's simply insufficient. It's not the testimony of someone that's going to be confused regardless. The rule of law shouldn't be to protect those that aren't going to be confused regardless. The rule of law should be to protect from consumer confusion for ordinary traditional consumers. That's what's at issue here. Further, Lawson's contends that whether Chinook is descriptive or suggestive or generic makes no difference. That's not correct. First, this argument suffers from the same fundamental flaw, that even if it's descriptive or suggestive, there's no evidence in the record to suggest an ordinary consumer perceives it as such. The record suggests that ordinary consumers will perceive Chinook when applied to beer as simply arbitrary. Second, the distinction between something being suggestive and descriptive, or in contrast, generic, is that something that's descriptive and suggestive can serve a source indicative function. Consumers are going to look for a source, even if it's suggestive or descriptive. They're going to look for a source, they're going to see the Chinook and Chinooker marks are similar in sound and appearance, that Mackey's Chinook mark is strong, that beer and wine are related goods, and they're sold in the same channels of trade to some of the same consumers. For those reasons, the board's decision should be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That's it for today's arguments. This court now stands in recess.